Unstoppable Women is a space for women to come share their stories of resilience and relentless spirit. It's about their stories of struggle, fighting the odds, and eventually succeeding. In each episode, we speak with powerful achievers and share their stories to inspire others who want to create their own path to success. Tune in each week to find out how to become unstoppable. With over two decades of experience with global leaders in sports and entertainment broadcasting and a career filled with awards for outstanding business innovations and other achievements, Rachna Arora James moved away from corporate world to pursue her passion for food styling and photography. Our guest, this episode truly proves that you can, in fact, do it all. Welcome to the show, Rachna. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very happy that we are back together and we are talking to each other.
So can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Ooh, it's seriously tough to always talk about yourself. But I'm Rachna Arora James. I was born and brought up in Delhi, so that makes me a true blue Punjabi. But over a period of time, I've been repackaged quite a bit by being in the media world and being in international territories. So now you see a much softer me. I've been in media for the last 23 years, so I honestly don't know anything better than media. But I've been always a wandering creative soul as well. Also a mother and trying to keep up with everything in this hour. All the time, now living in maybe one of the most diversified countries on the planet, which is Dubai, and trying to break through somehow.
So from a women's perspective, Rachna, what was it like entering the competitive world of broadcast media at such an early age? I think that was your chosen career from the beginning, right?
Well, it was. And I mean, I don't know. I think it was by accident and not just by because I always wanted to be in media. I mean, my parents always wanted me to be a banker or a teacher. And I obviously broke all their ambitions of also a doctor. So yeah, I think media happened by choice of being in advertising as one of my post-graduation courses. And I must say it was quite challenging and quite tough at that time because India was just being introduced to a pay TV kind of a concept. Zee was fairly new and that's where I joined initially. So, you talked about challenges of being a woman in broadcast media, right? That's what you asked me. I don't know whether it was just for being a woman. I mean, for me, I think the challenges were quite dual because I was also fighting at home to make them understand what it means to be in private media and, you know, what it means to be outside of 10 to 5 because we had long working hours. And women at that time, at least in our house, didn't go out or came back from work at 5 or 6. So I think the challenge for me was dual. One, you were fighting a battle at home, and the other was you were fighting a battle in a completely new environment where women at the workplace were not at the top levels. So I think to be able to make your point and to be understood well and to be given a chance at bigger projects was challenging initially being a woman because it was a world that was largely dominated by men.
So any more specific challenges you faced? You know, specifically you mentioned that being a woman and in leadership position, you know, it wasn't the norm at that time, but you were in the leadership positions, you know, for a major part of your stint in India, the latter part. So what were the challenges?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't come initially. I mean, initially you had to go through the entire, fighting it out in the corporate world. I mean, I don't think women were taken as seriously in media at that time. So, like I said, you were always trying to make a point about yourself. Also, I think it was a norm that maybe an average or a good looking face cannot talk sense. So, you know, you were always supposed to bring in your best looking face in a meeting, but you were not really expected to make sense. So I think breaking that norm was quite a big challenge for me initially, because for me it was all about work. It was never about, you know, how great am I dressed up or how great do I look. So making people to understand and to take you seriously was a big thing. Also, I think some men do not take it very nicely when they have a woman subordinate who's doing better than them or who's their boss. So fighting those battles on a day-to-day basis when you're dealing with your counterparts or your colleagues who are men and who are not ready to take your advice or let you lead in certain parts, brings in a different level of understanding and mind play. So I think from that perspective, yes, I wasn't married then. I didn't have a child, so I can't say that managing house and managing work was challenging. I mean, it was quite challenging for a few of my other women colleagues, and I saw them. And I saw that struggle and that effort. But I guess managing that work-life balance for someone who is running a family is also quite a bit demanding with the kind of hours that are required in India or anywhere else in the world.
Any challenges where you felt that your personal and professional life were demanding? Being single still, you know, it could have been challenging. You want to quote any instance or a situation?
Oh my God, that's too long back. It's like you're asking me an incident from another life. I think every challenge was I always thought that this is the breaking point and I can't take it anymore. And I think I fought it so much that I always emerged out stronger. I remember I had one of the most difficult bosses that I had, and it wasn't that he didn't recognize my work, but he didn't like the fact that I was a woman and I made sense in his meetings. So, you know, fighting that battle every day of your lives can become quite exhausting. And I remember one time I had gone back home and I was just crying and crying and crying. And, you know, my parents were just like, what happened? And this was like not a very early phase in my career. I was already at a senior level, but it was just getting difficult. And they were all about, okay, leave the job if it's that difficult. And I actually made up my mind to resign. And I went next day to office saying, okay, I'm going to type a resignation letter. And this is going to be like my last day. And then the next morning when I woke up, I was like, how can I let one person really define, how I'm going to lead my life next? And I'm like, I'm going to turn this around. And I did. I didn't go and resign that day. And I decided to fight on. And this is just like one of the things. I think there were multiple things that kept coming and going. But I think self-motivation and focus is something that has really kept me going throughout. And breaking the glass ceiling is not just a term that people use because it's fancy. I think it is for real. I've also kind of quite ensured that I speak my mind, and I don't think many people like that. And that's another challenge that I faced while I was in my corporate career. I still am. I mean, I still speak my mind, whether anybody likes it or not. And yeah, I would say it's worked for me. I don't know about anybody else, but it's always worked for me. And I would always encourage everyone to speak their mind.
Very interesting, insight. Essentially, what you're also saying is, you know, how you can look at adversity and change into opportunity for yourself, right? So it can either break us or actually make us. So after a very long stint in corporate world, you decided to dive head over heels in love with your passion, which is food and food photography. So what emerged first? I know that you are very creative as a person, right? So I've known you for so long now. And I've also seen you experiment with multiple passion points in your life. And then finally, you know, you took Photolicious ahead. So how did you land up there that this is the real mojo, you know, after singing, dancing, sketching, theater, you know, the list is so long.
Endless, yeah. Yeah, you know, I think you're a creative soul yourself, so you will understand that there needs to be a part of you, you know, that needs that creative outlet somehow or the other. I don't think I will ever leave music. I mean, music is just like a part of me always. But over the years, I think I've not been able to spend as much time in music as I would love to. I think Photolicious is a very interesting way of now having to express my creative sense, you know, into a photography world. But I also think it started way back when I was a child, honestly. And I don't think even you know about it, that I had a relationship with food. Like, honestly, like, I would eat from everyone's plate. My parents were sick of giving me food because I would never be satisfied. I would always be hungry. So my relationship with food was so close, in a good way and in a bad way, because I was also a very fat child because I was always eating. And they have videos of me collecting food from everyone's plate to you know, to put into my mouth because I was always hungry. Anyways, I think that relationship with food continued, and obviously you get health conscious and all of that. But the real turn happened when I started helping my chef husband in kind of just photographing food. And I realized that it's something that really motivates me, that really makes me happy. You know, it just became then a creative outlet. And it continued. And I also felt every time we traveled, we connected a lot more with people. Actually, not just people. We connected a lot more with souls whenever we spoke about food. And food is just so intrinsic and special to everyone. Or a lot of people, if not everyone. Like, some people really eat because they have to live. I think the people who we meet in our lives, and we've been kind, and God has been really, you know, kind to us. People who we've met, a lot of them talk about food with so much passion. And I just felt there were just so many compelling stories that could be told with food. And that's how I started Photolicious. And eventually, over a period of time, I started liking it. Food is a very intrinsic part of who we are as a family here. And it then just lets me kind of be a visual storyteller through that food. And that's what I enjoy the most about it. And by the way, I haven't left my corporate career. I don't think I can ever be out of media fully. I still work as an independent consultant. I'm not in a full-time job, so I get more time for photography. But yes, it's something that really excites me and drives me to kind of move forward and look forward to something more than just contracts and deals and negotiations.
So we can call it your ikigai or your mojo, right? Which is basically feeding to the rest of your life.
Yeah. I wish it was that easy. Like, when I look at food now, it's all about... It's not like how I looked at food when I was young. It was all about, oh, can I eat this? You know, can I finish this plate or whatever? I think it's transitioned into something more. It's transitioned into, I want to make others eat it, you know. I want them to fall in love with when they first see it. So it's transitioned into something more meaningful, something more soulful, but I'm happy that it's around food.
Yeah, so I think both me and Ajit had our best 5-course meal at your place. What yeah. a visual delight, but yeah, I mean, full of taste and love. Amazing, amazing experience.
Thank you.
But tell me, Rachna, I think you've taken this up seriously also in the last 18 months, right? We've seen a lot more happening on your Instagram handle. There's a lot of activity. You're posting quite a bit. So has there been a challenge in terms of putting resources together, or it's something which has kept you going during pandemic?
I think it's a mix of both. It definitely is something that kept me going through the pandemic. Once you get into it, you realize that, you know, it's no more just clicking from the phone and putting it on Instagram. Also, when you have, you know, more people coming on your feed, liking your feed and your work, I think you become more responsible of what you're doing, and then you start learning the art a little bit more. So putting resources together has definitely been a challenge, because it's no more, oh, I saw a plate and I can click it, you know. So it's a very controlled environment. You obviously think about a storytelling with every food that you're doing, and it took time. I mean, sometimes shots take as long as 4 to 5 to 6 hours, because you're just, and you know, you're starting, so you're learning a lot of things. So I mean, I've just been happy investing time in learning about the art, because again, it's something that that pleases my mind, body, soul. It's visually appealing. It's a storytelling. So, and that's one difference that I think I've always tried to make on my feed as compared to a lot of other food bloggers. And with all due respect to them, amazing pictures, but for me, every post of mine has some story attached to it, and it's not a story that I make up. Like it's driven by, you know, your experiences in life, you know, things that you picked up as a child and that stayed in your memory, you know, something related to food that kind of makes it quite real. And that's what I enjoy the most about it, because it's a full creative process. It's not just clicking a picture and putting it out there. So I think I diverted from the original question. Your question was about... Yeah, okay. Yeah, so it's been tough. It's been really tough. And honestly, I'm still learning. But I'm happy that I progressed in the way that I did. And I didn't start it as a, you know, okay, now I have to get money out of this. So, you know, let me start learning about it. I think I learned about it because I still am passionate about it, and I can talk on food for hours, but learning the technical piece of it is something that I'm still doing. It's all fine. It's a part of the learning process.
So do you see this becoming your profession or a more long-term engagement for you? Because I see it's getting noticed and picked up by publications, you know, there are a lot of food bloggers who've started noticing what's happening on your feed. Yeah, it is different. It's definitely different.
Yeah, thank you. So I mean, yes, I think the first part was quite satisfying, the fact that some of the biggest food bloggers in the world came on my feed, you know, liked it, interacted with me separately. It's been very rewarding in its own way, and you know, it gives you a high, and it feels very surreal, you know, when you've gone through these corporate highs in your career, you know, and you're just starting out here and you're just like a child, and it kind of humbles you down, because you're no more a head of a department, you know. You are just a new food blogger who's talking to someone who has 400k followers and is really big. So it kind of humbles you down. So I think that's also something that I really liked. If you're asking me that it's here to stay, definitely yes. I mean, the level of engagement for me needs to needs to continue. I think it's a little early for me to say whether I want it to be my full-time profession or not, because once it becomes a profession, you know, then you got to deliver what the client asks for. Like, I just did a small project for the Food Network, and God was very kind. I was blessed to have that project on my plate, and you know, I worked on it and realized, okay, now it's become a job, you know, so now I'm just doing what the client is telling me to do, you know. So I think I'm going to keep it a happy mix of both. I think I am still going to do what I want to do. So, by the way, a lot of work that I do on my Instagram is not something that I really do for clients, because clients want different kind of photography, and that's not something that you will see on my feed. And I'm currently building my own website to kind of showcase my entire work. But for me, again, it has to be a happy mix. I will take up projects because I've invested so much time, effort, in learning the techniques of food photography, and I'm happy to pass it on, you know, to make any food item looks great. I'm happy to do that if it pays me money as well. But I think what I do on my Instagram is quite special to me. It's all about telling stories through food. And if I have to ever make it like a profession, it's my playground. I won't give up my playground for the sake of making money somewhere else. So I think if I've answered it for you, it continues to be my creative journey, and it will be. But yes, if I'm able to maybe make some good bucks out of it, why not?
So that's the dilemma which every creator goes through, right? They start with their passion, which becomes somewhere gets noticed, becomes big. And again, you know, last 18 months, whether it's influencer marketing, which is picked up, podcast, which is picked up as a format, right? So influencer as a space is growing. And you know that right now, if you're getting 10 calls, this will definitely increase to 20, 30 more calls happening. So that's the reason I was asking, are you planning to take it up seriously? Because now is the time, industry curve is going in that direction, that it is going to grow many fold from here onwards.
Yes. You know, I often am quite split between whether I want to be an influencer or want to be a food photographer and stylist. And there's a big difference. And I mean, I have to be honest, social media really puts me off sometimes. And that's why you will see me going on long breaks on my Instagram, you know, because it just takes away a lot from you as a person, engagement and you know, just the pressure of being on social media, that takes away from creativity. And I really strongly believe that, you know, the more time you spend on social media, it does take away a creative part of me, because I'm spending that time, you know, engaging with random people. I'm happy to be a part of the community, and I mean, I really haven't thought about being an influencer. If it happens as a part of an organic growth, because people think I can influence other people, yeah, maybe. But for me, standing to the core of storytelling, being a visual storyteller, being a food photographer, presenting food where it enriches your soul, or it helps you form a deeper connection, I think that's more important. And that's one value that I do not want to lose, irrespective of where social media is moving. I mean, Instagram can say that, you know, they will only look at videos now and not photographs. Does not mean that I'm going to stop doing photographs. Yes, if I have to survive on that platform, maybe I'll do some videos, but it's not going to take away from the core of, or the happiness of what seeing that picture brings to your face. You know, you see if you understand what I mean, you know, it's social media will keep evolving, and that's how the world is. But I guess sometimes it's also important to stand to your ground and say, yes, I will ride the wave, but I will not only ride the wave, because that's not, I will take away from my core creativity then.
So being authentic means a lot to you. So yeah, I hear you on that.
It does. It really does. And I think any creative soul will tell you that you can always copy, and you know, and copying is good as well, because that also takes a lot of effort. but yeah, I guess being core to what you started with is important. Also, I think I really feel that on social media, yes, you can put up a face, and I see a lot of those accounts as well. But when you're real and when you are authentic, I think people who follow you, people who connect with you, will stay with you. You know, the fake followers will keep coming in and going. So that's what I'm after.
That's the unstoppable women I'm after. So that's how we spotted you as one, because
you're
relentless spirit to keep coming back and keep reinventing yourself, yet not lose the original Photolicious, original Rachna. She's always there. So how is it for Rachna to balance the mother and the professional and the creative inside? You know, there's always this juggle. How do you balance it all?
You know, honestly, I have renewed respect for women who we've seen balancing it all out when we were in our growing up years. And you respected them that time. But when you are in it and, you know, when you get into it and you have a full-time career and then you are pursuing your passion and then you're raising a child which needs really an entire village, it's tough. It's really tough. Honestly, I don't have a right or a wrong answer for it. All I would say is that when I wasn't a mother, I wanted to be a perfect mother. I wanted to be a perfect wife. I wanted to be a perfect whatever. I think over the years, what I have learned is it's good to be wanting to be perfect, but I don't want to be a perfect mother anymore. I want to be an imperfect mother, so my child sees, you know, you're happy when you're together, but you also fall down and you get up and you move again. So I want him to see the real me. And I think kids kind of really pick this up and they understand when your mother is working and when she has time for you. And it's been tough, I won't deny. Last 18 months since I started pursuing my passion quite seriously, it's been tough managing work-life balance. But we are getting there. I think we all are getting there. And I would say it's a blessing if you have a supportive husband who contributes as much as you in the house. I am just blessed to have a chef husband, so I don't have to at least worry about getting into the kitchen. So it doesn't matter how many hours he's worked. He thinks cooking is therapy for him. And I'm like, great. So that's all your department. I will manage a few other things. I guess you have to just keep going, right? You have to just self-motivate and keep going. And then one smile and something from your child that happens every day, it just keeps you so motivated that you don't need anything else. But yeah, I wouldn't do it any other way. You know, if now I have to go back and say, oh my God, what if you had a better life and you were single when you didn't have a child? And I'm like, no, I wouldn't do any other way, because this life is so rewarding. And like you said, reinventing yourself as a mother, as a professional, and someone who's trying to pursue her passion is in itself is so rewarding.
So reinventing is the key, isn't it? Like, any message you want to give to young women out there who are trying to, you know, create their own identities, stay true to their true selves, because that's been such core to you, you know, being original, being authentic. Because people are struggling right now, you know, people are struggling during pandemic, even, you know, cultivating passions. It's even in the jobs, one job, they are burning out, right? It's not been the best of times right now. So how do you maintain that authenticity yet be happy as a professional in personal life and follow your passion?
I would also say, and again, I've been lucky to be able to adapt to change. I think we often forget how important it is to adapt to change, because we are so much in our comfort zone that we forget how it is to try something new. And that's something that I keep telling everyone, that it is important to be able to see that change and to be that change. I remember when I was in India in my job with Sony, I mean, honestly, I could have spent my lifetime there, and almost everyone who I knew asked me, are you out of your mind that you are leaving such a great corporate career here to go to a new country and do something that you've never done before? And I was like, but I can sleepwalk and do what I'm doing currently and be in my comfort zone all my life, or I try something new and learn something new and again reinvent myself and change. And I did that. And I honestly have no regrets. So yes, being focused is important. Being ambitious is important. Motivation is important. But yeah, I think adapting to that change and working your life around it is also something that is really required, especially how lives have changed in the last 1.5 years during pandemic. And I would also add food to it, because food is an important part. So keep eating well as well. And looking at great pictures.
Lovely pictures.
Thank you. I hope I made sense. I don't know what works for everyone else, but these are a few things that have really worked for me.
So lovely. Thanks for sharing, Rachna. You know, the other thing which made us start this show in the first place was, as women, we tend to get stuck in identities and labels and responsibilities, right? We've seen our family, within family, our parents doing that, and they really didn't explore their passions or hobbies. So how does a woman be unstoppable in 2021, if you have to give a message to women who want to walk the path of authenticity, being original, being there for everyone in the family, being in all roles still having that space for themselves and cultivating some passion which keeps them unstoppable. What is the message you want to give to all those unstoppable, more wanting to be unstoppable, women out there?
Honestly, I look at women in a very different light now. And I think when I was younger, it was all about going to office, coming back and sleeping and shopping and all of that. But over a period of time, I do realize, as a mother, as a wife, that women are quite strong in the way they stitch together not just the family, but the entire society. And that's why to be able to have that kind of responsibility on you while you're working, I think it is really important to give time to yourself, to love yourself. And I know that it is easier said than done. I don't remember the last time I went for a facial, but I think it's just important for you to pursue that one thing that really excites you. And it could be anything. Of all you know, it could be as simple as a sleeping. But if it's something that rejuvenates you, that excites you, then I would really, really push all the women out there to do it. The other thing is also about being true to yourself, because if you're not being true to yourself, then I don't think you can be true to anybody else around you. So, you have to listen to your inner voice and see and hear and action on what it's telling you. Yes, it's not easy, because you're kind of doing multiple things around, and you're multitasking almost every day, every point, every hour of your life. But it's important to keep you going. If you have more than one thing, great, you are a superwoman. And I guess all of us are in some way. But I guess it's important to branch out, because that branching out will give you a lot more clarity, a lot more focus, a lot more motivation on everything else that you're doing.
So what role has spirituality played in your life, Rachna?
Huge. I can't even begin to, maybe I can't speak as much about it, but I think the spiritual connections, the energy exchange. I honestly also feel one of the reasons I'm in food is because there's just so much energy and spiritual self that is involved. I think it's been my driving force. Being spiritual has been my driving force. I may not talk about it so openly. I find my own time to find my spiritual self. I don't meditate as much as you do. But for me, it doesn't matter whether you're praying to God and finding your spiritual self, or you are meditating, or you are in a creative process. But I think it is quite important for me to be spiritual and to be able to find that calm, find that energy that keeps you going. So I wasn't ready for this question, but I think spirituality is a very strong part of me, and I would never let that be down in any way. I try, and by the way, I also try and meditate now, and it gives me another kind of calm and clarity. I don't do it as regularly. I wish I could, but yes, it kind of defines a large part of me today.
Right. When you said, being on social is taking a lot of your energy away, right? So I think that's where I picked it from. Because you are wanting to spend time with yourself, which means me time is meaning a lot to you. And if it's not,
of course.
So it has to be connecting with the self then.
I mean, I keep saying I could be the most extrovert person you will meet in a party, but I will fly like a butterfly if you let me enter a room of unknown people, and I will talk to everyone and wow, I would be their best friend. But if I don't get me time, I will be dead like in a few days or hours. So I think that connect is quite important for me, for sure.
So what do you do in me time? Now we're getting to the real stuff.
Oh my God. You don't discuss those things on podcasts,
no?
Right? I don't know. I mean, my first time. What do I do in my me time? First, I find my me time. I think that's quite challenging as compared to whatever else you're doing in your me time. Multiple things, yeah. I mean, for me, it's just maybe sitting quiet with my eyes closed and trying to focus on one energy that kind of brings back the positivity in me. And maybe I'm sounding too, I don't really know how to explain this. I mean, for me, time is also about preparing for a shot. Me time is also about reading something that excites me. Me time is also about finding some time to sleep because I'm perpetually sleep deprived. So for me, I think it's just, I love watching my movies alone. I love doing, some creative process alone. So for me, that alone time, which just helps me connect with my brain and my heart and my body, is quite important. And then it doesn't matter it's not about meditating all the time, no. For me, I just want to be away from that noise, a noise that is around you, a noise that is staring at your face, that comes from television, from social media, from everybody else there who's around you. I just need to be in a quieter space with myself. That's what me time is for me.
Thank you, Rachna. I think with this, we figured out who the true original Photolicious is. And our listeners would have loved to know all the details about your life. Thanks for sharing everything with us. And thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, really. Thank you very much for having me here today. I had no idea that I could speak on a podcast. So adapting to change is something that I did today again. And thank you for letting me do that. I really loved being here, and I hope to see you again very soon. Bye-bye. See you. So,
thanks for tuning in. Join us again next week for more inspirational stories from Unstoppable Women.